Hi everybody, how are you? It's been a while since I've been on this podcast because I've been quite busy moving my clinic, and so Vanessa has been doing a solo podcast, and now she's busy moving her clinic, so here I am doing a solo podcast on Ananta well-being. But today I have a really special guest. Her name is Caroline Rhodes, and Caroline and I met many years ago. And I have known of Caroline also for many years because she's a physiotherapist and has a very successful clinic and practice in Hong Kong called The Body Group. And I came across Caroline because one of my patients actually had gone to see her and have told me that she not only dealt with the physical body, but she really looked at the root cause of emotional trauma and problems that can contribute to chronic pain. So recently I went to a workshop with Caroline. So it was a really fascinating workshop, which I want to talk about because it specifically focuses on women. So welcome, Caroline. Hi.
Thanks, Lorena. Thank you for having me.
I know you're so busy, and thank you so much for doing this podcast between your patients, busy clinic.
And you too.
Yeah. So tell me, like, how long have you been in Hong Kong for?
I'm 23 years.
Yeah, really long time.
Long time, yeah.
Yeah. And so you have a really successful practice, and I actually have been a patient to see one of your therapists there, because for myself, I find that chronic pain or stiffness or lack of freedom of movement often can stem from frustrations or stress at work. And so I know that one of the things that you do is craniosacral therapy, and you're also a master trainer in a technique called the emotional freedom technique. And also you do matrix re-imprinting. So you're not just a standard physio. So I'm really curious about how you came about doing or learning these modalities and how you incorporate them when you see
That's such a good question. I think it's just sort of a combination of what I was seeing, like certain patterns with my patients, and then also what I went through. And I think that I have all this passion for what I do simply because of the struggles I had when I was younger. And so I can identify with that and the frustration that goes with trying to get some sort of just improving my quality of life. I felt like I was a little bit on the medical merry-go-round, and which is one of the reasons why I later sought you out as a doctor, because I am a very strong believer in going to a functional medicine doctor. I want somebody who comes and looks at me as an individual and, looking at all the different, the lifestyle, what are you eating? Those things are really important. It's what you do. It's also what I do. And so, looking at, what's your quality of sleep like, things like that. But so when I first came to Hong Kong, I got into cranio. I already knew craniosacral therapy, but nobody had heard of it at that time. And I was just trying to introduce it to the population, and I actually, people just couldn't understand what it was because it was so gentle. And I especially enjoyed working with newborn babies. And a lot of people thought, well, why would I want to have my newborn baby's head shaked? It sounds a little scary. It's very, very gentle. And so, I was just doing a lot of sports physio, which is fun in itself, but not so much of a challenge for me. And so, because I was working with so many new mothers and just listening to their stories and all the stress they had, and then they would come in for therapy, and I would align their pelvis and straighten out their backs after delivery and work on scar tissue after having a cesarean. And I around that time, I had already heard, I'd already known EFT, but I was kind of just using it for myself because honestly, it's so weird. I did not know how, as a physical therapist, I was going to start teaching this weird tapping thing. And it's weird, but it works. And so, Yeah, I had treated myself successfully years ago when I first was introduced to EFT from a trauma that I had. And it was so fast, that's when I decided to learn it. But it took me a couple of years of just working on myself, working on friends and family before I felt comfortable introducing it into my practice.
That's interesting because I actually did come across your website and it actually did have the EFT video on it many years ago because I was just browsing around your website booking an appointment and I came across this interesting tapping process and I thought, oh, what is this? And I actually ended up trying it on myself when I was going through some stress and I really found it very helpful because, to be honest, like we all have stresses and things and I'm very much into going to talk to a therapist or a counselor if there's a need for it, just to, even whether it's venting or it's just trying to process a thought or ideas or emotions. But what I found really different with EFT was this tapping. This tapping had this immediate calming effect. And I think in your workshop that you do for women, you actually go through the reasons why, because it has a lot to do with our subconscious. So, and I also did a lot of reading through How to Change Your Mind from Bruce Lipton. So he talks about that too. So I thought, wow, there's actually a scientific basis on these acupuncture points. So I thought, wow, this is actually like ancient science. And now we're like modern medicine is explaining some of the mechanisms. But because it's so harmless, and when I did it through your workshop, it was really powerful because it just re-centered a lot of things and released a lot of stresses and pressures. So yeah, like I wonder, like for yourself, like how do you work that into your practice? Because I do refer people to come to see you because I do feel some patients require a way of discharging that emotion, but at the same time, having a way of reprogramming their subconscious into a more positive mindset.
Well, as a physio, I always do like to look at spinal alignment. I think it's really important to make sure that the pelvis and the spine is in good alignment. But what I also came to understand, and just listening to my patients when they talk, that when they're under a huge amount of stress, that it really does affect every cell in our body. If it's something negative, that negative thought that they're having can change your biochemistry very quickly. And so it might slow down the healing process. It may cause digestive problems. It could cause headaches. It can cause a lot of different ailments. And so I started to, I studied mind-body medicine, actually. It's a technique from Germany, and it explains why we get certain conditions. So there's a certain thought process that we might have, a negative thought that's very, could be traumatic, very unexpected. It's very dramatic, meaning it really affects our life. So it affects us, whether it's our home or our career, and we don't have a way of dealing with it. And so when we get those kind of thoughts and we can't discharge that, it can manifest in a particular illness. And I really do believe that chronic stress definitely contributes to illness. And so when I one of the reasons I, you know, there's a lot of different ways of doing dealing with stress, and all the ones you mentioned I think are excellent. I'm also somebody who really likes to be able to talk to somebody, a professional, to help me through some struggles. But what I liked about EFT was that it's one of the few talk therapies that actually addresses your subconscious. And that's actually where, it's kind of where we store information. We don't realize how powerful certain memories, bad experiences stored in our subconscious, that it's affecting us right now, today. And it's hard to just talk about it and try to source it, but when we tap on these acupuncture points while we're talking, it actually goes right into the subconscious quite quickly. It helps to bring up the memory so that we can deal with that problem.
So it actually does quite a, it's almost like a shortcut or a bypass in a way, because I sometimes do find that when I see some patients and they've gone through the therapies, it's helpful at the time, but then they don't actually have another way of necessarily being able to constantly, reframe their mindset or reset their mindset into something that's much more positive. Because I know that science tells us that we make a lot of decisions every day, and a lot of those decisions are in our subconscious. So the way we behave, the words that we use, the intentions that we have, I feel that those things are not often in our conscious mind. And so when we have these traumas and we continue to have these beliefs that are blocking us from changing and being more joyful or finding the right path, I think that sometimes having a very quick way of doing that in our own time has been very helpful, because we're not always able to make an appointment to go and talk to someone. And what do you do in the meantime when, you know, when you have this fear of or anxiety? And so, yeah, I've had some patients with great feedback, and they've learned the technique, and they've said, now I can actually tap away the anxiety when it comes up. And then
Well, so the one of the other reason I really like EFT is that I can teach it to somebody and they can now use it on themselves.
Yeah.
So they actually don't have to book an appointment. So if you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep, you can actually start tapping on your acupuncture points and fall back to sleep quite quickly. Or if you're just about to go to, let's say you're about to give a presentation, and all of a sudden you start to feel, you know, you're starting to get performance anxiety. And you don't really can't go see somebody right away. You can slip off into a private room and spend a couple minutes on doing this, and it can release the anxiety so quickly, and you can, you know, perform in a way that you thought, wow, I did such a great job. I had no idea I had that in me, because 10 minutes ago I was panicking. So it's almost kind of like a little bit of a miracle tool. And it works for all ages. So I also, because I've taught a lot of mothers, they teach it to their children. And a lot of times the children will even ask for it.
That's really amazing. So like it's, I mean, I can imagine like it's so suitable for all ages. Because, and the thing about that is it's the tapping, but also the words that you're using during the tapping. That's also important, isn't it?
It is. So, when we, so the statement, the discovery statement in EFT is that if we have a negative feeling or something negative that's not helping us, whether it's an ache, a pain, anything that's not having our body in balance, that means there's a blockage somewhere in one of the Chinese meridian channels in the body. And so we focus on 12 main meridians. And what we do is we tap on the end of the meridian point. And so what we do is while we're tapping on it, we say the negative statement. And this is where people get confused, because if I say, you know, this this panic attack, panic attack, panic attack, and I'm tapping, people think, I don't want to keep repeating panic attack, I'm going to make it worse. But actually what we need to do is we need to focus on our problem while we tap on the meridian point, and that's what unlocks it and lets it flow out. But once we finish the tapping sequence, we then add an affirmation. Because now once we get eliminate something that's negative, automatically the brain wants to fill that empty space. So we're going to now fill it with something positive. So at the end, we do end with an affirmation.
I think that's really key, because even though we describe it as tapping, the actual the actual wording and the actual bringing up of those emotions and then having the affirmations is it's also a really key part of that, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's very powerful. And this is why a lot of times I was guilty of this when I first started learning about how do I want to change my life. I just wanted to have a better life. You know, I think maybe some relationships weren't working for me, or my career direction wasn't going in the way I wanted it to. And I would have post-it notes everywhere, you know, these affirmations. But in reality, that doesn't work because that's just us talking to our conscious mind. But because a lot of the things that are holding us back are things that actually happen usually between the ages of birth and 7 years old. And this surrounds the time in our life when our brain is still developing. And we are like little supercomputers as children, just observing the world around us. And so we might just observe what's going on and we believe it to be true. We believe everything that we see to be true. So for example, let's say we grow up with, parents fighting all the time, right? As little children, we don't know. We don't think of it as right or wrong. We look at that and think, oh, mommy and daddy fight all the time. And when you grow up, then you end up in a relationship where you're fighting all the time because you, for some reason, believe that that's a core belief. Oh, people just fight all the time, right?
Yes.
And you know it's not working for you, but you don't know how to change it. So once you recognize that, this is not how I want to live my life, we can change that program really, and to understand where we got it from, why we have it, and what we would like instead. But we also might associate with, mommy and daddy love each other and they fight all the time. Therefore, when you love someone, you fight with them. So we make this confusion between love and fighting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
And we don't mean
like you have to fight to show that you love someone.
Or you have to criticize someone if you love them. If you grew up with a parent who really wanted you to reach your full potential and did it in a way by pointing out all your faults. This is nothing about blaming how we're raised or blaming our parents. They're really trying to help us. I grew up with an Asian mom. So, Asian at that time, maybe they've changed a lot, but at that time, they're really good at picking out your faults because if you recognize your faults, therefore you can correct them, right? So growing up with, somebody always picking out your faults, after a while, you might feel like, gosh, I'm just really a horrible person, or I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not something enough, right? But that was not the intention. So we then, when we care about someone, we might be critical, but it's because we associate loving and caring with someone by pointing out their faults.
I definitely.
Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. I have to say that, I'm very thankful for my mother because she has picked up a lot of the things that I could improve on, and unintentionally, I think it becomes a theme. So then it does become a bit of a record in my head. So and it's not to blame parents or anyone. It's really just that they want the best for us, but it does get imprinted behavior. So
very strongly,
very very strongly. So that often is our background voice and record. So I notice now more so after doing EFT and also through other work that when that inner voice is getting louder and louder, I've got to find ways of discharging that. And so it was really great to be a part of that group that you ran, and because it was all women, so I think, like, particularly women, we have a lot going on in our heads all the time.
Yes, we do.
And I think it's a gift in many ways, because we're so gifted in being able to manage different things.
Correct.
Because our biochemistry and our physiology is just so much more colorful.
Yes, it is. That's such a nice way to say it.
Yeah. So I really like to put things in a positive way, but so that's why I was so amazed at how, like, doing the group tapping actually has a different kind of energy. So I felt that it really brought, like, all the women a lot closer, even though we were all different backgrounds and different ages, and we were able to open up. And at the end of the day, I think we were just laughing the whole time.
Which is great, because then we know there's a release, right?
Yes, yeah.
So that thing that was just not working for us, that's getting us down, you know, I mean, it's such a simple, elegant way without re-traumatizing the person.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be able to release it and look at it differently. And often we look at it and it can actually be quite funny.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. Where did that come from? Oh my gosh, I can't believe I had that belief. And you know.
Yes. Yes. And I think, like, when during that workshop, like, it really brought up so many things and real issues that we all think about in our own heads, whether it's big or small or minor, or we think that, oh, it's just so superficial, but really we all wanted to feel the same way. And I felt that we addressed a lot of issues, particularly about difficult topics. And one of those main topics was about women's sexuality. So I felt it was a great combination of techniques. It taught us to sort of remove the blockages in our heads and our emotions, and then it opened up to receiving really useful, helpful information about our bodies and about intimacy and about how to nurture ourselves. So I really felt it was a powerful workshop, and I'm so grateful to have been there as a participant to see how you work in such a different way, because it's not physiotherapy. It's more than that. It's so much more beyond just the physical body. And I feel that in integrative medicine, even, we are often missing that, because I see patients coming in with physical problems, and there's always a stress or emotional component to it, but we often don't delve into it straight away, because we do need to build that rapport. But when we do have that rapport and those intimate details come out, like, how does it get addressed? Like, what's a good way for them to start their journey in healing? So I just found it to be such a safe place, and women have a connection, I feel, with each other, because we have gone through so many different aspects of life experiences and a lot of similarities and differences, and it's great to learn from each other too.
Well, living in Hong Kong, as you know, we get to meet people from all over the world, and very international city with people from different cultures, backgrounds. I mean, it's such a wonderful experience. And I've worked with women pretty much from everywhere at this point. And so I noticed that, you know, that there are similar things that women have just because we're women.
Yes.
All the things that I kept studying, when I started to learn more about mind-body medicine, I actually got into it because I had developed a tumor in my uterus. And I wanted to find out why my body made this tumor. You know, I believe that the body, when we can call this an illness or a disease, but the body sometimes creates things to try to achieve balance, as you know, being a functional medicine doctor.
Yeah,
it's not like our body's made a mistake. Our body's trying to correct something.
Yes.
But if you follow the traditional allopathic medical model, you know, you either need to treat it with a drug, and sometimes people do need it,
yes,
or surgery. But if we you know, from what I started to learn, especially with the female reproductive system, so much of the reason why women were getting things is they didn't feel like they were enough. There was, I'm not good enough, or something about not having, feeling enough. They were putting themselves down, consciously or subconsciously. And so I also learned that in, excuse me, for women to have a long, healthy, happy life, they needed to be able to have 3 orgasms a week.
That's
So,
something very,
you know, I
very
mean,
revealing to me.
yeah. And so, you know, like there's that aspect of it, but yet, you know, we live in a very sexualized society where for women, sex is very taboo. Especially in certain cultures, there's a lot of shame and guilt, and you know, even something like masturbation, you know, and men, see, men are not raised this way, you know, and men have so much more freedom, and as women, we don't, depending on our culture, we don't have that freedom, so we're being held back, and then all of a sudden we get married, or we're in a serious relationship with a partner, and you know, we're finding like, oh my God, I'm not good enough, or I have all these hang-ups or all these blocks, you know, and a lot of it can be just as something as simple as, you know, feeling ashamed about their body. This already can kind of hold you back from having a wonderful sexual experience when you're, you know, being with somebody who loves you and you're trying to express this love with this person. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh my God, my thighs are so big. And, you know, what does he think of my body? So, this is where, you know, your mind just sort of gets hijacked into all these worries and fears rather than just enjoying the moment, which can be very healing.
Yes, and that's really something that I admired about the workshop was that it was really quite real, talking about all the real things that goes through our mind but in a very open way. And everyone was just laughing because we're all thinking the
It's so true.
So if anyone were to like be a fly on the wall and looked in on the group, they would see a group of women just tapping on their bodies and then having a giggle and a laugh.
My thighs are too big, my I have cellulite, my tummy's flabby, my boobs are too big, my boobs are too small, my boobs sag. I mean, all these things, women think about these things, right?
Yeah, we
But I
do, for
mean,
sure.
honestly, all you have to do is just look at any advertisement, right? And like we as women, we look at these advertisements everywhere and we're like, I don't look like that.
Yeah, it's
And
supposed to be
the
a
model actually
specific.
doesn't look, the model doesn't look like that either, right? I mean, she's been airbrushed and there's probably about 2,000 pictures before they picked that one.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So it's just society, all that kind of brainwashing, subtle brainwashing, telling us, oh, you should look this way, you should be this way. There's so many shoulds, that it's so distressing. And yeah, it makes us question our self-confidence. It does wear it down, and when you're under stress with other things as well, I think it really gets to you. So I just felt that it was a really safe space for women to go to, and it really helped to discharge a lot of anxiety even in the group, because that was the first time that we all met each other. And I felt like straight away after even the first couple of tapping rounds, it was very helpful to just like even I often know for myself that when I do things like acupuncture, when I do EFT, or when I have massage therapy, that there's an emotional component that comes out afterwards, whether it be oh, I feel so drained, or I feel angry, or wow, like why am I so like irritable afterwards. I think like a lot of that actually is emotional suppression, or we're trying to like hold it into ourselves, or we're or perhaps we've actually directed those frustrations into our own bodies. And so I resonate with you when you say, oh, trying to find out why did my body have a tumor. And it's not just a physical tumor, but it represents something that the body is trying to tell us something. And I think Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, a psychiatrist, when he wrote the book The Body Keeps Score, I don't know if you've ever read that, but it is a story about how trauma and deep trauma can have repercussions, and the body itself has a way of trying to balance it out. And sometimes they can present as somatic symptoms. So I feel that there's a real connection between our emotions, our physiology, our biochemistry, like you said before, it does make those changes. So it was really interesting because as we started to discover more about it and knowing how to nurture ourselves and just even like, you know, for example, like what's optimal health. I talk about different things like diet and lifestyle, but definitely knowing that having orgasms 3 times a week is a standard to aim for.
And if and you know, of course you can do self-pleasuring. You don't have to have a partner. Because I've definitely had, you know, I've had conversations with a few men, husbands, or like, 3 times a week, oh my gosh, I feel a little pressure. I'm like, don't worry, she can do it for herself. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to like feel the pressure. You know, and this is the other thing that we talk about is, you know, sexuality is so much more than, you know, the actual physical act of, you know, can I say those words? Can I talk about the anatomy? Penis and vagina. It's so much more than penis and vagina, right? Penis and vagina, man ejaculates. I mean, it's so much more than that.
Yeah, it's more than that, very much.
Oh, so much more. And so when you understand that, you know, it just, it needs to be fun. No pressure, just have a good time and enjoy yourself and take care of yourself when you need to.
Yeah, and, it's this idea that we all, you know, sometimes get from like the media. That it has to be a certain way and you have to look a certain way. I think like that is like again completely not the case in real life between partners. So I feel like there's more than the physical, there's that emotional connection during the intimacy. So I feel like when we're more confident in our own bodies and in our own emotions, we're able to be more open in sharing that with our partners. And so I agree with you because I also feel that we only look at it from a physical perspective. And also I think the other really great point that you brought up during the workshop was that often as women, we don't feel that we can ask for things. And that's why when you talk about masturbation, that's self-exploration. It's knowing what we need, and every woman's body is so different. So discovering our own bodies, understanding ourselves better so that we can communicate what we actually need from our partners. So I really feel it's not just in the sexual space, but it's also in relationships, how we interact with each other day to day. It just seems to have so much transference to other aspects of our lives that I just felt that this workshop was really amazing. So yeah, I really encourage people to like come to the workshop, and I know that you've got something in the pipeline that's going to be online and self-paced. So I'm really looking forward to that coming out soon.
it's a great online workshop. I have to say it's amazing because I'm able to just really cover a lot, and you know, the weekend workshops are wonderful because we can connect with other people while we're doing it, other women. And there's, you know, there's some studies saying that when we heal together in a group, it's even more powerful. But some women feel a bit shy about going to a workshop if we're going to be talking about sex and sexuality. So this platform offers women to be able to, you know, treat themselves in a private setting. And also, I want to make it available for women in poor countries. I feel like they even have less of a voice, you know. They, you know, maybe they don't have, they're maybe in a situation where they don't have the same kind of freedom, maybe not access to education and that sort of thing. So what EFT, because we cover so many things, we don't just talk about the topic, as you know, we talk about it and then we do tapping on it to actually clear it. So it, you know, what it does is it empowers women to have more confidence, to have self-love and acceptance, and self-love and acceptance in all the different modalities of healing that I have ever learned is pretty much the foundation in order for the body to heal.
Yes.
Without self and love, without self-love, it's very hard for the body to heal.
Yes, I definitely agree with that, and I see a lot of that in the conversations that I have with the female patients that I see, that there's a lot of pressure that they put on themselves, and pressure from their own belief and from what society expects of them, you know, being a good mother, being a good wife, a partner, being a good daughter, being a good whatever it is in their profession. So there's so many hats that women have to wear, and it's just so confusing. So, and yeah, if we don't have that support, or we don't really have a way of understanding, oh, actually, it's not just me. Other women are in the same situation, and here's how we can find release and how we can learn to accept ourselves and to love ourselves. Because I truly believe that a lot of the times in this society, we're looking for love from external sources, and it does create a lot of stress, anxiety, depression. And I think that, and I see this in some of my patients when I measure their blood markers or their hormones, and they're like really high in their stress hormones. So we have that conversation of having to deal with those things, because it is an ongoing factor in their lives, and how do they get relief from it? And I think if we're always constantly stressed, we don't have the ability to think clearly for ourselves and to understand how we really feel about a situation.
Yeah, well, you're right, because when we are under stress, we aren't thinking clearly because the blood, it gets shunted from the forebrain, which we need for conscious thinking, to the hindbrain when we're, really stressed, when we're in that fight or flight mode. And when the blood's shunted in the hindbrain, it's great for getting us out of a stressful situation because our reflexes become very quick, but it's not
Becoming
good
more
for
reactive,
yes, exactly. We need to decide, am I gonna, run or am I gonna defend myself? And when you have those thoughts, as you know, the brain or the hypothalamus actually doesn't know whether that's a real threat or not. If you think it is, even if it's not, your physiology changes. And when you're in stress mode and you have stress hormones, it shuts down your immune system. Both of those systems cannot operate at the same time.
Yes, this is a really common issue that I see women who have a lot of autoimmune problems, is that they've been chronically under stress, and their bodies are not able to recognize foreign body from their own tissue. And often there is a lot of, like, if I go back and I really delve into it, they've been going through a divorce or a bad relationship, or they're with a partner who's not respectful of them, or they're in a job that they don't really find meaning. So it comes, a lot of these things actually come up, and it's just a matter of finding that out and bringing it to the surface, but at the same time, being able to refer them to different experts to help them grow. So yeah, I feel like when I'm trying to make good decisions and trying to focus and find clarity, I think it's really important to be in a space where I'm feeling peace, where I'm feeling nurtured, where I'm able to create that self-love for myself. And I can tell you it's not easy, because it's so difficult to unlearn these habits that we have. So
And how you were saying, like if we're in this, we have a really stressful job, for example, right? And sometimes we don't mean to, but we choose certain situations because we maybe grew up with a lot of stress. So we're used to so much adrenaline and cortisol in our system that that feels normal. So the minute it drops down, we're bored. So we need to we need to create something to bring that stress level back up, because then it feels like we're really living. And we call them, adrenaline junkies. They work hard, they play hard, and they probably have a core belief that life is hard. And they may have learned that from a long time ago. So when you start reprogramming those core beliefs and you start bringing the stress levels down and getting comfortable with that quiet, and it allows the body to heal and things start changing, and then you just sort of, everything's just sort of rebalances and you get used to that quietness and it becomes more comfortable, not boring. It allows your body to really heal and relationships improve, and the way we take care of ourselves improves.
I find that to be very true. I mean, I'm definitely one of those people who was an adrenaline junkie. I had to be doing multiple things at the same time, and I had to book my appointments back to back to the T. Every minute had to count.
And when you weren't doing that, you were probably at the gym working out really hard.
Yes, as well.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
And so I had
I
to.
mean, I fall into the same category. Now I'm really loving my yoga and meditation,
Yes.
which I really find very beneficial. But because I let so much stress go, I find that my body shape actually is nicely balanced.
Yes, I definitely have to
A
say that.
combination, I have to say, a combination, because I don't want to say I'm more mature. So, like it's a combination of that and seeing you to help balance my hormone levels as well. So,
I do believe that. I do believe that we hold a lot of, like, I remember even during a period of time when I was going through a lot of stress, I was actually holding a lot more body weight. And I was eating the same food, doing exactly the same exercises, and trying to do all those things. But it wasn't really until I was able to be quiet in my mind. And it's not about maybe not thinking about anything, it's more about being okay with the thoughts that came into my mind. Because I used to be that person who said I could never sit down and just meditate. That was just not me. I could not think about anything. But I realized what it was that it was more that I had so many thoughts going on in my head that I felt I had to do something about those thoughts. But then one time I went to a meditation and I heard the teacher say, "Well, just let it go. Just recognize it's there and just accept it." And I thought, "Oh, why didn't someone just tell me that before?" And I tried that, and then I actually also did other work to just feel like just not book everything to the T. And it was hard because I just felt that I wasn't achieving something, that I wasn't good enough. And so all those emotions came up when I didn't do anything. But what I realized was that nothing really became a disaster. No one died. There wasn't an emergency. There wasn't a natural disaster. I didn't miss out on anything, really. And so I felt, well, actually, it wasn't so important then. So then what was it? So I had to really go back and try and find out what was driving all this busyness. Because I would be so busy and I would achieve things, but I never really felt that they meant anything in the end. So I had to go back and question myself and started to do meditation. Actually, I think the first thing I did was breath work. I think breathing was very
It's
powerful.
so powerful. Oh my gosh, breath work is powerful. It really resets your nervous system when you breathe properly.
I really kind of now find the breath work as a daily practice extremely helpful for me. And then going into meditation as much as I can. And then in that moment, even utilizing positive emotions to find that balance. So I really found all these different types of modalities practical. You learn them, you that skill is there the whole time, and then it's just a matter of really putting that as a priority, even when you're so stressed. Because I know now that if I don't do it, I'll be more stressed. So in order to actually discharge that stress is to make that a priority. This really only takes 20 minutes, and that's it. So and even with EFT, it's 5 minutes, like you say, so we
It's
really
so
have no
fast. And
excuse.
what a lot of times this works every time I explain this to most women, they kind of get it. So when we think of adrenaline and cortisol, they're aging hormones. So when we can stop that and decrease it when we don't need it, and replace that with the youth hormones and sex hormones when we're in a relaxed state, it really does reverse aging. And I don't mean just the way you look, how your body feels, your joints, the way you wake up in the morning feeling more refreshed, not exhausted. You know, it really is, it's a very, very powerful way to turn back the clock.
Yeah, I agree. Like, why not? I mean, it's free.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so, I truly believe that those are the self-healing things that we can do on a day-to-day basis and have these tools in our toolbox. These are skills. I feel that we should be teaching these in schools.
I do too. Can I say one thing about self-love?
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
So, you know, like I think in this day and age, a lot of women say that it's really hard for them to date because nobody wants a relationship anymore. You know, dating has changed dramatically with dating apps and that sort of thing. And so part in my workshop, I also help women who are not in a relationship attract the right relationship for them. Mm-hmm. But what some women have told me, and this is what I also experienced myself, is that when you really get rid of the blocks that's allowing you to have self-love and acceptance, you don't feel lonely.
Yeah.
You really feel, you feel at peace and you feel balanced. Mm. And you're not looking for love because you love yourself.
Yeah. And that has a lot to do
with it. And that in itself attracts the right kind of people into your life.
Yeah, I totally really agree with that. And I think like, especially now when we are not able to travel or find distractions elsewhere, or, you know, sometimes even when I see people emotionally eating, it is about that. It's about trying to feed ourselves with care and love. Mm-hmm. And these are all the different symptoms that come about when we don't have that. And I think if we can teach ourselves and learn to love ourselves and accept ourselves, it really does change our goals, our mindset, and what we find meaningful, and also the type of people that we want to surround ourselves with.
Correct.
So I really think that we attract those things, you know, those energies, the type of people who are on the same page as us, and then it's not lonely because you don't really have to explain yourself. You're just who you are.
And yeah, it's such a wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
I'm sorry it took me so long to figure it out.
Well, I think that's why it's so important to teach that type of skill to the next generation, the future generation, because if we can start that at a young age, and these are life skills, and they can carry that through. I mean, I wish I actually knew about these things when I was at school, so that I would be able to focus better on exams, or, you know, with performance, or even learning, and just even the type of challenges that you face growing up in a different culture, having to speak a different language. So I think that like there's so many aspects and areas where it can be useful. So yeah, I really am grateful that you have so many skills.
Yeah.
And you've made that connection between the body, the emotions, the mind, the consciousness, which is really difficult to find, because a lot of therapists, physical therapists, only focus on the body. And I don't really have a lot. I don't see a lot of that being talked about. That kind of connection being talked about in that physical space. So I'm really grateful to you because I think a lot of patients resonate with the physical aspect, but then they're getting also a different skill set from you that you that you integrate really well. So I really admire the workshop that you run. I just go there and I think, wow, this is something which I would love to do as well.
Well, I think that would be great, just having more of these different types of workshops. They're brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, helping and sharing information and you know, really making a change, a permanent change. Because you can go to, you know, like, yeah, I can go to Bali, for the week, for the a week holiday and do the yoga and meditation every day and come back and nothing changes, right?
It's got a
But
really
with,
deep change.
right, when you start going into the subconscious and reprogramming beliefs that don't work for you, then that's when you start to see changes.
Yes, that is. So that's great. Thank you so much, Caroline, for your time. And
Oh, well, thank you.
is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience? I will make sure that there's a link to your website.
I think one of the things I would say is that it's never too late to have a happy life.
That's
It's never too late to have a happy
true.
life.
It's true, it's never too late. And it's all about curiosity, willingness to have an open mind and try different things. So thank you again. And
Oh,
then
sure.
hopefully we'll get you back on as a guest and talk a little bit more about the other things that you do. We've only really covered, I think, very the tip of the
Well,
iceberg.
thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Caroline. I hope you have a wonderful day.
And you.
And I will see you again soon.
Okay. All right, Lorena. Thank you.
Goodbye. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Bye.
Bye.